Today's New Testament lesson comes from the book of Romans 14, verses 1 through 12. Please listen to the word of our Lord. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment over those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on slaves of another? Is it before their own Lord that they stand or fall? And they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it for the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat for the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain for the Lord and give thanks to God. For we do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each one of us will be held accountable. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Hear the words of the Lord. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all of his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then this his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused, and then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported it to their Lord, all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had the mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For all of us who grew up in a certain generation, We remember those scenes in some of the early depictions of Jesus, and as they would act out the choking of the fellow, that's so clear to me. And yet, here we have this incredible passage on forgiveness. On forgiveness. Jesus has used many, many parables with his disciples. But this one is one of the most clear. Because in some, earlier in Matthew, as Jesus would tell a parable, it would even tell us in Scripture. Then the disciples got together and said, "What in the world did that mean? Am I supposed to do something about that?" But this one could not be clearer. Chapter 18 also is its own little problem. It began with the disciples arguing, who is the greatest? You know, I'm greater than you all. And no, I am. And here are these grown men wanting to play king of the hill. Verses 6 through 14, Jesus talks about how to deal with weak members within their own group. 15 to 20, how to discipline those who fail from what Jesus asked us to do. And after all of that, then Peter starts out. Because Peter has had to deal with the other members of the disciples, with the people that they have been with. And my guess is Peter is thinking, I've just about had it. I can't take this anymore. Why can't people just listen? And then Jesus gives us this wonderful, wonderful verses about forgiveness. I was raised to believe that if I did something bad enough times, there just might not be forgiveness left. I was raised to believe that if I kept count on what people did to me, then maybe I don't have to forgive them either. Wouldn't that be great? And then I recall this amazing song that came out of Hamilton. I don't know if you've been able to see Hamilton. I understand it's not everybody. But there is such a powerful song towards the end. Alexander Hamilton, who had done these amazing things and had this amazing brain, had agreed to a horrible, horrible deed that would destroy his marriage, or had the potential to destroy his marriage. But then there's this one song where his wife comes to him and forgives him everything. Forgives him everything. Partially because she sees how he is suffering. Partially because they are both going through grief over the death of their son. But I believe she forgave because she truly loved him. And that's what we do. I know some people will say, I can forgive this, I can forgive this, I can, but that is too far, whatever that might be. And sometimes I think we think that that's maybe how God plays it as well. And yet, Jesus was very clear. I was in seminary, I was taught that the number 7 doesn't necessarily mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 is an example of the perfect number or of infinity. It never, ever ends. It goes on. So when Peter says, if I forgive someone, as many as 7 times, isn't that okay? 7, that's a lot. And Jesus takes that perfect number 7 and says, not 7. In some versions it says, but 7 times 70. Jesus is talking about infinity. There is no time when we can stop keeping count. There is no time when I get to say, you know, I taught school with a woman whose sole mantra in life was, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. Yeah. In other words, I'm going to give you one chance, but if you do it again, I'm done. And she truly lived her life that way, which was a little bit scary for the fifth graders that were in her class. But some of them rose to the challenge. Challenge accepted. Often we get confused with what our mind wants and what God asks us to do. And so Jesus says to the disciples, not just Peter, but to all of the disciples, he gives them these parables. Now, I don't know about you, but I've read these parables many, many times. I've heard them many, many times. But sometimes I'm not paying close attention. Because when Jesus tells the disciples and uses these numbers about talents and about denarii and all of those things, we don't really understand because we're not of that society. Jesus actually is using numbers in this that have absolutely no realistic equivalency. Does that make sense? Jesus gives them a number when he says, no. Jesus says, when Peter says, if I forgive seven times, not seven times, but 77 times, and then he tells them this parable of the unforgiving slave. This slave had worked for the person who owned him and clearly owed debts. And when he goes to beg and plead, he is told, have patience with me. No, he says, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. And the slave owner forgives 10,000 talents. Now, I have no idea what that means, do you? So I did some research. A talent is a measure of weight. And so one talent is the equivalent of 130 pounds of silver. Just one. One talent is 130 pounds of silver. One talent represents 15 years of work that slave had done. Did you realize that? I'm not sure I did. I knew that it was a big number. So when he is forgiven 10,000 talents, that represents 150,000 years of income. Now, I don't know who you are or if you have that capability to understand, but I can't even imagine working 150,000 years just to pay off my debt. How about you? That's how much this slave owed this master. The equivalency of 150,000 years of income. And the master forgave him completely. Now, if this story said, well, and then 15 years later, this same slave came upon somebody else who owed him a debt, then we would get it. But that didn't even happen. The slave fell on his knees, he begged for patience, the master released him. And then in verse 28, but that same slave, as he went out, a free man, completely forgiven of his entire debt, he came upon a fellow slave who owed him 100 denarii. Oh, but that's not the same as a talent, right? Right. A denarii is 1 day's wages. 1 denarii, 1 day's wages. So this slave owed him 100 denarii, the same thing as 100 days of work. We'll compare that 100 days of work to 150,000 years of income. It seems like a pittance, doesn't it? The king forgave so much. But then, when push came to shove, the forgiven man forgives absolutely nothing. How dare you? You owe this to me. And if you can't pay, I will throw you in prison. It didn't even take, according to this passage, it didn't even take a week. And already the forgiven slave forgot what the master had done. Jesus used that equivalency to show you the difference between how great a debt can be and how stingy our forgiveness can be. That God forgives us completely. And God's forgiveness is both extravagant as it is precious. According to Scripture, God forgives. All we have to do is ask. This forgiveness that the king forgave is extravagant. I'll forgive you everything. I know there's no way you can pay this. I forgive. You're free. Go. Go live your life. Go work. Go be with your family. Go be within your society. Go live your life. I release you. And instead of feeling that energy inside of them like a hot air balloon being released, this man turned and was cruel. Because see, this forgiveness sometimes that this king gave, sometimes it reminds us that forgiveness is beyond our ability to keep track. It's beyond the line that we're what we are willing to forgive. I have heard people say, I can never forgive you. I can never forgive you. Now, granted, it's mostly in the movies, but I'm sure you've heard it too. And I have felt it. When people have held a grudge against me for something stupid I did, something awful I said, whatever it was I did, I promise I did it. I didn't mean to. Do you ever have those moments when you say something and then a day later you think, I can't believe I said that? I was angry. I was disappointed in something. I was confused about everything, and I just took all of that inside, and instead of releasing it to God, I lashed out to someone that I love, someone that I know. And here, though, is what we need to be reminded, that the debt that Jesus forgave of this man, the debt that Jesus forgives for all of us, means that it is for all of the sins that we commit, for all of the believers, for all of the world, and through all time. God's forgiveness isn't just one of those bargain basement hurry to get your forgiveness because it's going to end at midnight right after Christmas. Jesus's forgiveness for us is for all times, at all places. And we're reminded of how we are to forgive in the Lord's Prayer. Did you think of that? You might have, because I know that sometimes things come. Chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts." Wonderful. Thank you. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." See, it's not just one or, it's one and. Jesus forgave us, God forgives us, and now we must also forgive. That means that that grudge that I'm trying so hard to carry is ridiculous. If I have forgiven someone, then the grudge is gone. If I have forgiven someone, then the memory is gone. I had a wonderful friend who used to say, "You know, I didn't even remember that we had that conversation. Of course I forgive you. I don't even remember the incident." And I don't know if she was real or if she was just saying those words to remind herself. But it was powerful. So, we have this. But I want to go back to today's lesson in verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, if another member of the church..." In other words, this gathering that we have, this community that we have, sometimes we are going to get angry, and sometimes we are going to need to ask for forgiveness, and we are going to need to forgive. And that must always happen within this community. Those of us who believe that God is our creator, that Jesus is our Lord, that is the rule that we need to live by. Because we're human, because we're not God, because we're not Jesus, I'm going to say something stupid or I'm going to do something unthinkable. But within the community that God gave us, we forgive. We forgive. I'm reminded of several things. I'm reminded of Corrie Ten Boom, who learned to forgive the person who was so cruel and awful to her when she was in a concentration camp. I'm remembering Nelson Mandela, that when he became the president of South Africa, that he learned to forgive the people who were so awful and cruel to him when he was imprisoned. I'm remembering the people that I have known who sometimes I think, they're still mad at me. I think they are. And yet when I see them, it's like absolutely nothing has happened. God on this day asks us to remember those examples, to remember what Jesus said, to remember that when Jesus was on the cross dying, the words that came out of Jesus' mouth were, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. I count on that forgiveness because I am such a broken person. I count on that forgiveness because I am such a weak person, and I count on that forgiveness because we serve a God who is mightier than all of us put together. We serve a God who loves us beyond measure, and we serve a God who wants to see us in community loving each other." As we go through this coming week, may we count on that promise. May we remember what God has done for us, and may we be examples of that to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, to the people around our country, to the people around the world. And may we give thanks to God for this wonderful gift of forgiveness. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.